So welcome and thanks for joining us. There's been a lot of conversation in our Telegram around God's network in the community and obviously a lot of excitement around God's network and the opportunities it brings as an adoption driver and interoperability application built on top of Partizia Public Chain. We wanted to have this call to answer, well, firstly, introduce gods and then answer some of the questions that complement the existing documentation out there, like the website and white paper, which we encourage you to check out. We'd be sharing links in the comments and across our community channels as well, in TG and Discord. So Adam, please, if you've got any of those links available for the comments here on this spaces, that would be amazing to share. We understand there are a lot of questions, and just bear in mind this is an introductory call around gods. So, to manage expectations, this will be more of a quick-fire community call to address the many topics that have come up. And this is just the beginning. You'll hear about God's network as time goes on. And if you want to know more, then, as I've said, mentioned, please join us in the community. Quick round of intros then, some familiar faces from Partizia Blockchain and also co-founders of God's Network. So we've got Peter Franson, Kurt Nielsen, and Matthias Glimborg. And I'll be your host, Youssef Fanous, Chief Commercial Officer at Partizia Blockchain. Given the amount of topics and questions to answer, and obviously the interest in gods, we'll just jump straight into it. So, Matthias, now that you're prepared, we'll go straight to you. What exactly is God's Network?
Yeah, thanks, Youssef, and thanks everyone for joining in. So yeah, let's get straight into it. From a high level, God's Network is a cross-chain messaging protocol for any data from a blockchain or a smart contract. So you probably heard about these kind of concepts before, and obviously God's Network is different than some of the other ones, which we will touch upon later on. I think one thing which is really characteristic and interesting here is that it's a subscription-based messaging protocol. So for anyone who's building a cross-chain dApp, they can go in and they can subscribe to various data on different blockchains, and they can unify it into one application, and they can abstract away all that complexity that is in handling cross-chain messaging and security. God's Network also has a public blockchain as a backend, and that's Partizia Blockchain, which we selected, and God's Network has selected because it has some very desirable properties that increase the security and transparency. I think it's always most easy to explain what is this exactly by demonstrating some use cases. So this is pretty agnostic. You can build a bunch of use cases on this. But for example, if you want to build something which is very hot, AI agents, you can build an AI agent on one chain or multiple chains. And as these AI agents, they have a certain behavior on data inputs, it's extremely important that the data you fetch from various networks, they are reliable and they're accurate and they are not tampered with. So then something like what we're doing in God's Network is very critical to make sure that you get all the data and you get the correct data into your agent so they have the desired sort of behavior. A very classic one is also building a token bridge. Most token bridges, they need some kind of cross-chain infrastructure unless they want to build their own. And I think the security around a cross-chain bridge and the need for a cross-chain messaging infrastructure to make sure tokens are locked and mint and burned at the right time and the right process is critical. And recent years, there's been a lot of hacks, which has really shown that there's a need for paramount security here. It's billions of dollars that has been hacked on that particular use case. So I'm just going to hold off here. This was a very high-level introduction, and we'll get into some of it.
Yeah, you're covering things that we'll get into in greater detail, I guess, later in this call. So for the layperson, you've mentioned it's a subscription, a data subscription service. For the layperson, how does this work? Is it similar to an RSS feed for websites, or is there a better comparison to use?
I think I'm just going to stick to the Web3 way of doing it, because that should be pretty intuitive for most people. And that's also the intention, right? So in God's network, you literally go into a smart contract on the blockchain you want to build on, and you interact with a smart contract where you create a subscription and you put money into that subscription. So as you receive the data, you'll get charged on your subscription account. So you can specify any blockchain or smart contract data on all the networks that's integrated into the network.
Got it. Okay, understood. And you mentioned bridges, and as we know, it's one of the most vulnerable parts of the Web3 ecosystem, where, well, millions has been hacked. So that's clearly one of the big problems God's Network is solving, which is around security across sending and sharing data. Interoperability would be another, with all of the continuously spawning ecosystems, L1s, L2s. Can you maybe put it in a more concise way and something that you're more knowledgeable about, around what is the big problem effectively that God's Network is solving, and maybe jump into some of those details around how it's better than the current bridging ecosystems? And
yeah, sure. Kurt, maybe you want to take that. That's something we spoke about very recently.
Yes, I can jump in on this one. So at a high level, it's kind of turning Web3 into a coherent alternative to Web2, which is like the real long-term driver of Web3. So what does that really mean? So
I don't think I can hear Kurt.
You can't hear me?
I can hear Kurt. I think it's X who is playing a trick here again.
Okay. Yeah, X is temperamental. Okay. I think that's, everyone else can hear you for now.
So. Kind of weird. Okay, so what does that really mean? If we go back to some of the things that Matthias mentioned, it's really like you have a Web3 ecosystem, which is a security island. So you're sitting on Solana, you're sitting on Ethereum, you're sitting on Patricia blockchain. Each of them have their own security model. And when you do interoperability, you need to basically move out of the security model and into another one. So that's why you have had all these hacks, the bridges, which is doing exactly that. And that's also why it's a hard problem to solve. So we really need high security, such that you don't tap out of a security model without a secure bridging between these security islands, if you can look at it that way. But doing that subscription, if you get data delivered securely and accurate across blockchains, then you as a app developer or an app user, you're not really moving out of the blockchain where the service is, even though it relies on data that is coming from other blockchains. And that's really the trick that we're doing here, providing that easy access, readily available, secure data. And that's what we'll talk more about here.
So, perfect. Yeah, thanks for summing up at the end. took the words out of my mouth in terms of the ease of interoperability and use of data sharing. So a key question that's come from the community is around why God's Network was created as a separate application layer rather than built within Patizia blockchain itself. I think maybe one for you to field on that question.
Yes, I will do that again. I hope my voice is not failing me today, but I feel it's getting there. Anyway, so in the God's Network is really an adoption project on the Patricia blockchain. And it's extending both what we can do with Web3, what we can do with Patricia blockchain, what kind of dApps can do on Patricia blockchain. And every use in whatever context it is adoption and transactions on the Patricia blockchain. So that's what it's all about. It's really amplifying what we're doing in Patricia blockchain. And why we set it up as a separate application was to get the right degrees of freedom as a lay as a particular blockchain as a layer one, Swish Foundation is regulated, and there's a certain arm's length requirement to operation, and we will need to be more involved in the operation to get this service to work, and also make direct business to business agreements with the node operators. And that is not really feasible within the Swish Foundation structure.
No, I wanted to, I guess, double down on that point and maybe make it more real. So there are limitations as a Swiss foundation for sure. I'm curious on maybe what some of the specifics are around degrees of freedom. So whether it's a certain narrative or type of business or project we can work with, whether it's a level of KYC or KYB or any other type of suitable example, I suppose.
Yeah, the way we set it up, remove all obstacles so we can do anything. We can build bridges, be directly involved in bridging, directly involved in moving, make sure that you can access registers of credentials sitting on various blockchains, collecting access or create an overview of NFTs that represent physical assets sitting on different blockchains and put them to work in smart contracts. So there's no limitation the way we set it up. And also worth mentioning that this also is a way of saving the funds for the main purpose of the Patricia blockchain, because there's no funding from Patricia blockchain going to this project. This is just an adoption project that is all about doubling down on adoption on the Patricia blockchain.
Perfect. Thanks for covering that. I'm sure we'll definitely get more questions around that from the community. We'll field them as and when they come up. So I'm curious around the interoperability component. I mean, we've been hearing about interoperability pretty much since the dawn of time in this industry. What makes God's Network different from others? Maybe protocols like Layer Zero or Wormhole? Matthias, maybe one for you.
Yeah, thanks. It's a really good question because, you know, sometimes when you need to explain what we are building, perhaps the easiest way is to, you know, share some names of other protocols like the one you mentioned. And the way we are really different is that, as Curtis mentioned, right, we with our protocol, you can subscribe for any Web3 data. So. We don't develop specific endpoints, so you can only build a bridge. We don't subscribe to a certain standard to build a vendor login. We allow you just to take any log event from any blockchain and smart contract. And that's also very much aligned with sort of like one of our adoption strategies around RWA, DID, DeFi, and so on. So you get that sort of flexibility to venture out in some of what we believe are the next big markets. God's Network also has a public blockchain as a backend, and that's again Patricia blockchain. There are also some of the other ones which are building with a public blockchain backend. What gives on an edge here is like all the good stuff in Patricia blockchain, right? We have a MPC protected core infrastructure. We can drive and operate these large scale MPC based systems that's needed, so we can provide the paramount security, the liveness and availability needed in these systems. And then we also have another layer of transparency and a way to verify the liveness of the system. And just to touch a little bit on that liveness, right? Because we spoke about how important security is. Yes, it's very important and probably the most important that a system doesn't get corrupted. So you send the wrong messages and token that should not have been minted may get minted. But it's also extremely important that you have a system which is live and it delivers the messages when they are emitted and all the messages that are emitted. And that's something we achieved here. Lastly, we also work with some risk management modules that's sitting on the side and monitoring the system in that's probably a later roadmap item. And if you put all these combined, I believe we set ourselves quite a bit apart from the existing infrastructures.
Thanks, Matthias.
So, go on, please.
I've got to say, let's not leave you out. Please, if you've got anything to add to that.
No, but I mean, Patricia's blockchain has three components, really. One is that it is built for interoperability, so it's connected to the other blockchains. The other is that it actually has MPC infrastructure. The MPC infrastructure is exactly the type of infrastructure that you need to actually run the MPC Oracle that's going to be part of the Gods network. And then thirdly, it's also built for scalability. It's built for fast finalization. And finalization is sort of overlooked because in reality, finalization really isn't a problem as long as you're staying within the same blockchain. Because if the transaction that you're looking at is actually being rolled back, then the other transactions is also being rolled back. However, it can be a problem when you're going across. This is the ATM example, right? If you deposit $10,000through an ATM or withdraw $10,000 on an ATM, the ATM machine, in order to make sure that it is not losing money, wants to make sure that it actually waits quite some time to make sure that the transaction you send is final. But blockchain has speed of light finalization, and this comes in very handy when you're doing this type of cross network. And we needed that type of property in the blockchain network that we are running on top of. So Patrice blockchain for us was really, and then. It was a natural choice. And then at the end of it, I really want to also emphasize that we are now introducing the Bring Your Own Node, where you can write a smart contract code that's actually going to be executed off-chain. And that is exactly what you need with Gods Network. So that really locked the decision in for us.
Perfect. Thank you. And I guess that's a nice segue into Gods Network's role within the Patizia ecosystem. So, Kurt, it would be good to understand the benefits to Patizia blockchain, and more specifically, MPC holders, node operators, and delegators. I hope not technical issues and someone's just on mute.
That was not a technical issue. Yes, so let me jump into that. Maybe it's going to repeat some of what we talked about, but I think that's fine. So what this is all about is to move data across independent blockchains. And that's what is also, and every time you do that, that's generate on-chain transaction on the Patizia blockchain. So that's really the strategic benefits. You have more use of the network, you have more staking opportunities, and then it's all about the other side of this is to extend the adoption and what you can use the Patizia blockchain for. And this is where we get back to this Web3 as a coherent alternative to Web2. So if you come from the outside and want to bring in all of your users to Web3 to give them a more secure and more controlled environment for on-chain or online transactions, you can actually go in here and it will not be necessary to select a single network. You can go in and you can start building, and you can tap into resources that are sitting on the other networks out there, and look at it as a coherent alternative, which makes the decisions for moving into Web3 a whole lot easier. So from the Patizia, if you have a Patizia blockchain application, you can make that easily or more easily available on other networks as well. So really what everything that we will do with MPC is actually sort of amplified with this service. And that's why it's to some extent kind of completing the interoperability that we started out with the BYOC bridging.
Perfect. And we'll get into interoperability because I think there are a few components to clarify there. In short, it's an amplifier, right? So more use of PBC, more staking opportunities, more pretty much of everything is the intention. Is that right?
Yes. It really is.
Perfect. Okay, understood. And Peter, I guess if you could go more into the on-chain activity, like specifically what type of on-chain activity does God's Network generate for PBC, public blockchain?
Well, everything in the God's Network that needs communication around in the nodes that's running it will happen through PBC. So the PBC will get transactions every time there's something that needs to happen. And what is that something? So the something that needs to happen is that the service layer detects that there's a piece of data that needs to be moved from one place to another. Then that will trigger a transaction. Now the Oracle will check, oh, there's a new piece of data that we need to sign off on. So now every Oracle member will sign on this piece of data. And then lastly, we will compile and the execution that's going to happen on the destination chain and then actually send it to the destination chain. So for each data point that needs transmitting, there will be at least one service layer transaction and n divided by two-thirds Oracle transaction. That's the minimum amount of transactions that will happen in each transaction that goes across God's Network. And that's happened for everything. So it's really pretty much every movement in the God's Network will trigger transactions on the public blockchain.
And to Kurt's point earlier, it actually opens up more opportunity across different ecosystems and networks and dApps, which should promote more transactions on the PBC chain, right?
Yes, the intent is to create transactions on PBC. That's, I think, the primary driver for me.
Perfect. Okay. Understood. And there's I guess there's an element here around what the long-term vision is of PBC, which is data ownership and privacy first data ownership, as well as interoperability. How does God's Network really align with that vision? Kurt, Peter, maybe best to answer on that.
Yeah, I can give it a maybe a first shot and Peter can contribute. On the Patricia blockchain, you can control your data through privacy measures, and that allow you to get that user-centric Web3 internet that we all talked about, but it's not really materialized because unless you can control the your data, it's not really a user-centric internet. But that's what we get with the Patricia blockchain mainnet. And with this interoperability, you can bring that to the rest of Web3. That's the beautiful part of this. So what it does when the subscriber, think about it like a double click on a smart contract, and then you subscribe to that. So it might be like a sealed bid auction sitting on the particular blockchain, and you double click on that from Solana, and then you get the feeds, and you can know when to submit your bids and when it's closed and who the winners are and all of that. And all the security, all the management of the sealed bits has been dealt with on the particular blockchain. But you don't really experience that. You just you just double clicked on or subscribe to that smart contract from Solana. So I think that's that will be part of the user experience from this.
And I guess on trend with basically bring in Web2 users and bring in this to a mass audience, right, to improve the UI and UX. When are we able to see some of this in action?
I think maybe to mention one thing that we sometimes overlook in terms of the competitive edge of the particular blockchain. So the whole MPC and the large scale MPC cluster is providing that level of security. So it's not just about the privacy of the user's data. It's also about the security measures. That is the critical part in safeguarding all of this representation of data in with cryptographic proofs and all that. So in terms of when this is live, maybe Peter, yeah, you can have something to contribute on this.
Yeah, so I think there are a few technical issues, but Peter, it was around when God's Network will be live and when we'll be able to see some of this in action.
For me? Yes.
Yes, please. Sorry, just to be clear for listeners out there, Peter can't hear Kurt, but we can.
Okay. So,
a few technical issues. Again, we'll have to at Elon after this, I'm sure. But Peter, yeah, please, if you could. Around when this will be live and when we can see it.
Define live. We are live on the testnet. So we are actually live. We really want to, we are solidifying it right now and making it into the structure. And this also coincides with us releasing the first versions of the Bring Your Own Node capability that allows us actually to program the smart contracts so that it can all happen in PBC. So what we have right now is a demo that's running on the testnet. I think, I don't want to make promises that I'm not myself going to keep. So, but within the next month, I think we'll have something solid running, and then we can start talking about deploying it on mainnet. So if you have application that would like to have some sort of interoperability link using Guts Network, contact us, because we are actually ready to get it out rolling. If you already have something you want to get out before Easter, DM me, I'll figure it out. So the Bring Your Own Node is a new thing that is has been, which is really a way for us to sort of solidify what we've thought about how to build a blockchain network and how to build nodes in the blockchain network, how to build MPC and how to build oracles. We've actually taken that so that all users can now start to write off-chain contract code that will be executing on that node and only on that node, making it possible for actually to write all the Guts Network as a smart contract orchestration system that completely on the particular blockchain.
I love the fact we didn't miss the opportunity to plug. We're ready to build. So a reminder for anyone listening there to get in touch with Peter around interest in Guts Network. We've mentioned interoperability. And I think a key distinction to make is around interoperability that's been mentioned for the public blockchain. How does God's Network, from an interoperability standpoint, differ from existing Patizia infrastructure like BYOC, Bring Your Own Coin?
Yeah, so when we build Patizia blockchain, we build it with the intent of building a complete interoperable layer. So, and that's where is what has ended up becoming the Bring Your Own Coin. So the Bring Your Own Coin allows you to use coins that's liquid on other chains as a means of payment on Patizia blockchain. It has already proven a lot of value for us because it makes us, how do you call it? Ethereum native. We are not just some layer that's residing next. We're also a second layer to Ethereum. We're a second layer to Binance. We're a second layer to Polygon. We are already there. So we are all already easily accessible, from other chains. The thing about the Bring Your Own Coin is that it's also the means of payment. So it's a means of payment on Patizia blockchain. That means that the node operators are guaranteed to get the payment. But that also means that the economics of the Bring Your Own Coin is actually hardwired into the Patizia blockchain. So the Patizia blockchain has hardwired the money into the economics of the Patizia blockchain. And that means that there's a very strong guarantees when you have a Bring Your Own Coin. When you have something like Ethereum, you're actually guaranteed that regardless of what happens, the network is going to compensate you if someone's trying to cheat you. Collateralized, there are economic guarantees around what you're getting, and that's not. Network is trying to build what we build for Bring Your Own Coin, but build it outside of the economics, outside of the complete infrastructure of Patizia blockchain, making it more lightweight, making it more nimble. I don't want to say less secure, but it is not as collateralized as Bring Your Own Coin. So you have a lower security. It also, in that sense, it also means that you have to trust something different. You're no longer trusting that there's a collateral behind the Bring Your Own Coin. You have to trust something different. That means it's also a slightly different trust model. So the trust model here is that the node operators are actually they're actually part of the security, that the trust in the node operators is a key component in the security of this. It does have the very strong, significant advantage that now we can bridge any type of data. There's no limitations of the type of data that you can move. So all data that resides on Ethereum or on Solana, whatever blockchain is out there, we can actually start bridging it into Matias blockchain and outwards towards all other blockchains. Because now it doesn't need to have an intrinsic value. It does not need to have an inner core component. There's no specific properties around it. It's just data, and data can be moved from anywhere to anywhere else. And we're doing that with the Guards Network completely.
Great. And you've touched on some interesting points, which I think we'll jump into more detail on. One being node operators. I know it's been a hot topic basically within the community. Matias, who will the node operators be within the Gods Network? And maybe building on what Peter said around a distinction for security and the node operation, but how does that differ to what we have at PBC currently?
Yeah, so in God's network, right, it's not like a public permissionless blockchain. It's more like a more closed system in that sense that operates on a public blockchain. And the nodes will likely initially be run by partners, by God's network, GN Solutions itself, because what's really important here is that there is guardrails and whitelisting initially, so we'll make sure that all the messages they are secure when being transferred, and we can operate under SLAs with these nodes, and then the idea maybe later on as the project evolves to open up and receive applications from potentially external nodes and see how they could get involved in the network.
Great. So I'm curious then, it's not opened up in that way yet, but there's an opportunity potentially for node operators that run on Patizia blockchain to support God's network once that opens up, right?
Well, it's not in the roadmap to have external node operators at the moment. What I'm saying is that initially it will be operated by GN Solutions and partners, and there will be some agreements in between that, like normal companies, they do agreements. And then there may be an opening in the future to involve external nodes, such as someone who is a node operator on Patizia blockchain. But again, it's not in the roadmap, but as the project evolves, we will see how we, of course, can look into some of the Web3 values. How can we decentralize it? How can we work with a governance that's based on multiple parties and decentralization?
Got it. Understood. So building on, I guess, the revenue model or the governance component, is there due to be a God's Network token? Is that on the roadmap? Or?
No, there's no plan of issuing a token. And I think that the nature of God's Network is that it's a business, right? So there's a very clear path where adoption will generate a revenue stream. And that means the company and the protocol and also the node operators inside or the GN nodes can earn a revenue based out of that.
And the revenue model. So I think it was touched on earlier in the conversation around the 75-25 split, and is also available in the white paper. Could you add clarity on what the God's Network revenue model is and how that's split?
Yeah, so when we say revenue or we say fees, let's just call it fees, right? What's really important here to understand is that the fee that a cross-chain DApp developer will pay to the God's Network is a fee that comprises of what God's Network need to pay in gas fee to, for example, operate the backend on Patizia blockchain or to operate on some of the networks it integrates, like Ethereum and Solana. So that's kind of a cost which is baked into this fee structure, right? So when you as a cross-chain DApp developer pay a fee, A part of that will go to be burned as gas on Patricia blockchain and some of the integrated chains. Then there's the other part of the fee structure, which is the revenue or the compensation for the company itself, GN Solutions, which is registered in Zug, Switzerland, and for the GN node operators that's doing the work inside the Oracle, right? They provision some nodes, subscribe to SLA, they keep the uptime they're supposed to, and so on. And obviously, there needs to be a compensation for that.
So the two clear distinctions, I guess, is the subscription revenue model as a standard business would operate, and then the fee component for gas fees as well to pay attention to.
Yeah, exactly. So as a cross-chain DApp developer, if you're wondering what is behind, what is underneath the fee I pay to use a GOT subscription, you can think about it as this: I pay one part so the protocol can operate on public blockchains by paying the gas fees, and there's another part which is the compensation and revenue to the company and the node operators.
Got it. Okay, thanks for the clarity there. And this is all available in the white paper on the website and any other channels for God's Network, right?
Yes, it's described in the pitch deck and the white paper, which all can be found on the website. Of course, this is like version one, roughly. So if there's something that's a little bit unclear, I think at some point we will open up more communication to the communities and question can be asked. What I'm saying here is that it may not be 100% perfect from the beginning, as outlined in the white paper and pitch deck, particularly on this part. So there will be more.
Well, everything, everything evolves and needs to change based on trends and the actual operations as well. So I think that would be understood for sure. Thanks, Matthias. I guess I'll move over into a different type of topic, and that's around management. So the community have raised some questions around you guys, the founders, moving on to something new. Can you clarify your ongoing involvement in Patricia blockchain? Kurt, Peter, probably want you to pick.
No, I can do that relatively short. So as mentioned earlier, there's no funding from the Patricia blockchain going to building the GN solution. Anyway, if this is the GN solution is really depending on the Patricia blockchain. So it's, you can, I don't think there's any other way to look at this than founders dropping down on the public blockchain project. I think that fact is like it's very clear. Not moving away from Patricia blockchain, but building on top of it to even become more independent. So it's quite the opposite than what was suggested in that question, as I understood.
Got it. Yeah, sure. And on top of that, around transparency in the operations of God's Network, it's clear. There's an overlap in terms of management, but what's being done to ensure the right transparency is there or the right governance?
Yes. So, as we want to move towards more inclusion of the community and bring them in, or representative of the community, bring people in as a recipient of the software that we're building. And that also means that going through who was the people that was actually building this, and what did they pay, what was paid for building this and that. And with that level of transparency, I think it would be very clear that you have different, very precise track or task that is being carried out, and you have different people working on these tasks. And that's kind of what can be what is internally audited and what could also be and hopefully be externally audited by a selected member of the community. So that's the plan in that direction. But I think transparency is also a different story, especially for if you look at this service, because if you look at all competing services, they are that none of them that is built on a public blockchain. And I don't think I have not seen anyone any blockchain that has the same has the properties that we will dare to build the solution on a public blockchain.
There's a distinction, I guess. There's been some conflation between positioning God's Network as a chain, or at least an interpretation of that.
Yeah.
To be clear, God's Network's not a public permissionless chain, but it's a service that benefits from building on top of one. Is that correct?
Well, that is absolutely correct. It's not a blockchain. It's a Oracle service with this subscription data availability cooked into it, and it's the first one of its kind that is with this subscription push data to the users or to the subscribers, and it's built on top of a public blockchain. So you have that full level of transparency all the way to the transaction governing the whole solution. So that level of transparency, you don't find that anywhere. And that goes along with the level of security where you have large scale MPC. And that's really the unique part that we are utilizing, and one of the core edges to any competitors in this field.
And there's a component actually on that topic around it being distinct from a public chain, which is God's Network isn't replacing dApps on PBC. It amplifies it, right? I guess it'd be good to understand a bit more context around that relationship.
100%, 100%. So it's all about, I mean, it's a bit like in the Web2 world and beyond, you have API and API economy. So you have some of these interfaces where you know what to ask for and what to get from services, and you can connect your different services seamlessly using that standard. And that is a bit complicated in Web3 due to the decentralized nature of the different networks. But it's, to some extent, you can say that this is the API for Web3 that enables applications to work together. So it's really extending, and again, using that word, amplifying the outreach and the applicability of any dApps on the Patricia blockchain, but also on any applications on any other blockchains out there. So it's kind of a major upgrade.
Yeah, I think it was important to clarify that part, because I do think there was different interpretations for sure. Of course, welcome any other questions from community members around this in Telegram and on TG or Discord or here on X. In the same vein of community members, we do have a request from Manny. So I'll field a couple of questions now. And of course, we can, with respect to time, we'll make sure we're available in the community channels as well after this. So Manny, I'll bring you up now. I have approved you, so hopefully you're able to speak. Hey, Manny.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
We can. How are you?
I'm okay.
Good.
I'll try to keep it brief. I'll be honest with you guys. After listening to you, I really wish you guys take like some of my feedback that I've given a numerous amount of times. Like, I honestly have just, I'm in a couple of Patricia groups, some of the no-dops, some of just normal investors, and a lot of people are still confused of what actually is God's Network. And I wish you had simplified it more. I think you, Peter and Kurt, you guys need to understand, yes, you've come from an academic background and you aren't really talking to a bunch of crypto professors. You're talking to some retail people and some people with basic understanding of code and programming, and you need to simplify things a little bit more. Then my second point is there's still big uncertainty. Now, MPC is 99% down in value. So some people that invested in certain rounds, and it's still not clear how MPC is really going to benefit long term. And now they're so much further around that God's network is going to have its own token. It's not going to have its own token. So I really need you to clarify what's going on there and how MPC benefits in the long term. Because people don't mind investing in projects, and if projects don't work out, that's cool. But what it seems like to a lot of people is there's a lot of legal loopholes that the team are using and creating different offsets of companies to enrich themselves. And that type of FUD needs to be tackled. Now, maybe I don't know what's really going on myself, because it's still a little, I'm confused, honestly. And so I really think you really need to clear it. One, let me just finish, please. I think you just need to really clarify how long term will MPC holders really benefit? Because it looks like the people that invested in MPC paid for the infrastructure, paying for the devs, and it's not really coming back to them. And that FUD needs to be clarified. And I really hope you answer those questions and we can move forward as a community. Because until then, you know, I just feel people are really, really disappointed.
Manny, so one thing, first of all, this is specific to God's Network, and I appreciate there's an overlap here, but I wanted to keep it specific to God's Network. We've discussed some of these topics directly, and this is a technical, complex piece of work here in infrastructure, and it's my job and the marketing team's job to simplify this, which we will be doing. So you'll see more comms around this, and you've seen that we brought more people in the team to address some of this. So rest assured, you will see more of that going forward. But this is a technical, complex project, and we will simplify those comms and listen to feedback in the community around that. When it comes to how it benefits PBC and MPC holders, it's clear. More adoption opportunities, more transactions on chain. That's a very simple approach from my perspective. I'm happy to open this up to Kurt and the team now, but I do want to keep this directed on God's Network in particular. We can pick up other issues or questions on other topics.
I'll jump off, bro. I'm not going to sit here and argue with you guys. End of the day, it doesn't matter.
Great. So, Kurt, I don't know if you want to address that. I need to make it clear that when we have AMAs, we have them around certain topics. The community is open for dialogue and conversation outside of this, but we'll stick to God's Network, which is what this AMA is about. So really the technical components and how we will simplify that, and also just what the value add is to PBC. I know we've mentioned it in this call, but if we can just wrap up on that, I think that would be important.
No, but I think you sort of touch on the main point that quite the opposite of moving to something else. It's about doubling down and creating more adoption. So what creates adoption is that then people start to build services on top of the Patricia blockchain. And that's what we are doing on top of building the solution itself, the mainnet, and the assisting anyone else to build applications on the Patricia blockchain. So this is a service that we haven't seen. I don't think this compete with anyone else building on the network. Competition is always welcomed. So it's really just a service that is allowing Patricia blockchain MPC holders to tap into something that if we don't do this, someone else will come in and do this. Now we actually give Patricia blockchain and the community around Patricia blockchain to tap into this quite significant opportunity in the industry. And I think that's one of the greater benefits, and I don't think that is too abstract, that the having companies that is driving the next wave, because there's quite a few significant benefits from being able to activate data, being able to allocate ownership in a more secure way using blockchain. Having them, these companies coming into a coherent web tree is something that we have heard again and again from large enterprises. And you even see some of the large enterprises, they're trying to build their their own public blockchain in order to solve this problem. But they just make it even worse in fact, because you just create another security island and don't this do not create that coherent Web3 ecosystem. And now the NPC and holders and the community get to tap into that opportunity.
And actually, you bring up an important point, which is we as Patizia Blockchain operate a public chain. So first mover advantage with God's network, it puts us in a really interesting position as an adoption driver, which I think is key to note, that if we don't do it, there is an opportunity for others to do it. And we see this as a key piece of interoperability and adoption for the chain. Conscious of time here, but Cryptid, I can see you've got your hand raised, so I'll bring you to the floor and then we will wrap up, but we'll be in the community, of course, to field any further questions. So please, Cryptid, when I bring you up, can we field any questions around God's network? Hopefully you can hear me and you can speak now. Hey, Cryptid, how are you?
Hello, Youssef.
Hey, yes, hello. We can hear you. How are you?
Oh, good, lovely. I had a couple of questions.
Please.
Thank you for the info. One, is there anyone signed up to use God's Network? So I think there's a great deal of fear in the community about this is just another experiment, another use of funding and time that's essentially taken away from the MPC token and Partizia. So I was just hoping that, firstly, are there people actually signed up to use it? And then my second question, if we are pushed for time, I've got a full range of questions, is you've mentioned that this could be developed on Partizia, that it could be a node option add-on on Partizia. So what's to stop you doing that? Even I understand that it's going to take more time to do that, but why not do that? Because I think everyone's really concerned that there's not enough structure in place, that if God's Network is a success, there's nothing really to stop the Partizia aspect of it being jettisoned, and there's nothing to stop people focusing all their time on God's Network and not the MPC token. So that's my two questions for now.
Thanks, Cryptid. The two questions are people signed up to use God's Network? So I guess we take them one at a time. Peter, Kurt, whoever wants to hop in there as best place to answer.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think Peter also lost you. I don't know what happens with this system. Anyway, but first of all, I mean, there is no funding from Patizia Blockchain going to developing the God's Network. So and all of the adoption is generating utility on the Patizia blockchain.
Kurt, sorry, just one thing is that people are concerned because although if there's no funding, people's time is spent on God's Network. When if there isn't anything that comes out of it, that time should have been spent elsewhere. So that's the concern. Even if it's not monetary funding, people's time is being spent on it.
No, but we have plenty of time. So it's not that it's taking resources from Patizia Blockchain by any means. It's just a way of doubling down and doing more with the for the adoption of Patizia Blockchain. And it's really addressing a problem that we think is real. And that's also why we cannot mention name at this stage, but we are signing up the first 3, 4, 5 partners to work with that is helping us making sure that the first version address these quite different use cases. So, I think that's the state of the situation. Yeah.
Okay, and then secondly, are you convinced the ties are strong enough between Partizia Blockchain and God's Network to not have at some point Partizia Blockchain abandoned? I mean, is there any reason why the MPC token can't be part of God's Network?
No, I think it is part. So you're paying for a transaction, you can use the MPC there. That'll be the nodes will be used in staking, we'll probably be using the wrapped MPC for staking on these nodes.
The new nodes that are coming on to Gotham Network.
Exactly.
Okay, so they will have to buy MPC.
Exactly. Yes. Okay. And everyone using this would either have to pay with BYOC, so they would use the network and bring in BYOC and generate fees that way, or they will pay or buy MPC and use MPC as a means of payment.
Okay, so it really
taps into, yeah, okay, good.
My other question, though, is following on that, is what's to stop you running this within Partizia as a node add-on for the Partizia node ops, like ZK nodes, Oracle nodes, or an add-on, and they decide to run it?
Effectively, we're also doing that. That's effectively also what we're doing. To a large extent, that's exactly what we're doing. We're taking the infrastructure that is readily available and using the bring your own node to extend the node capabilities. We're just organizing it differently, because if it was deployed by the same entity, we would have regulation coming down on us. If we had deployed by the same entity, there would be stronger expectation on this being linked to the economic backbone of the Partizia blockchain. But to a large extent, this is exactly what we're doing. If you want to be an Oracle node, you have to sign up for being an Oracle node on the Partizia blockchain. If you want to be a zero knowledge node, you have to sign up for being a zero knowledge node. This happens in the smart contract. In God's network, you need to do something different, because the trust model is different. And then therefore, you have to actually provide a bit of more information around who you are and what the services and trust can be expected of you. So there are some differences, but in effect, we are doing exactly that.
Okay, understood. And some clarity then. So node ops will have to buy MPC tokens. You said that at one point there was going to be an MPC token, but Matthias has said there's not going to be a token. So the token use is just going to be wrapped MPC.
Yes. So for the staking of the nodes running the Oracle in the Gotch network, that will be the BYOC, the wrapped MPC going in there, backing the backing node operation, like we do on Partizia blockchain. Very similar.
Okay.
The node that Matthias or the not the node but the token that's on the that you could imagine you creating another token, right? As Matthias pointed out, this is really a fee driven business, so it's not going to be something that will compete. It's just going to be this fee based economy. And with the stake, which is quite similar to what we have today,
mm-hmm. And it's subscription based. It's not going to be pay as you use it.
Yeah, it's both. I would say so. That part is not completely scoped out, but the design is that you have a bit like when you do AdWords auction on Google, you're buying paid. Search, or you get at the top of a search by paying and participating in auctions. You put in that budget, and then you get a competitive price there. Here you also could put in a budget, and you just get you just subscribe and receive data.
Okay.
And warning at some point to put in more.
And who's the typical customers you're going with that would buy those subscriptions? What yes. Can you give a sort of a not a name, obviously, but can you give me
a
theoretical example? Yeah.
But I think the beauty of this is that a lot of these use cases that we talk about in Partizia blockchain is actually also use cases that could benefit and do more if they can do cross chain. So you can take DeFi protocols that we have actually built to work cross chain. You can take identities DID solutions where you have registers sitting on multiple chains. You can take the case that Matthias mentioned on AI agents, where you have an agent is bidding on your behalf or doing something on your behalf, and you need to feed that with data that is secured and coming from other chains.
Yeah. Okay. And have you modeled all this out to sort of establish how much node ops could actually earn part of your node ops? So we're not going to get into a situation where we've got lots of transactions running, but essentially what they earn is dust and it doesn't really make any difference. You have modeled out that this will lead to like revenue for node ops.
Yeah, I think the good part about this is that you have competing solution. I think we come in with a better solutions that is more general to the matter of moving data around, and you have competing fees that is that can sustain a reasonable business.
Okay. And have you got any example about overall what percentage of those fees will be shared now with parties? You know,
sorry, I'm just gonna jump in. We take this last question, and then we do have to wrap up because there's partner calls that we're overrunning on. So we will field other questions and comments on the Telegram group and other channels. But please, Kurt.
No. We'll do more, and this is also work with the projects that we're bringing in as pioneering the solution. So it's not easy for us to say much more at this stage.
Okay, thank you. I think Pitbull's got one more question.
Sorry, I am going to end the session now. Just to be clear, this isn't the one and only opportunity to ask these questions, and there will be more comms, future sessions, materials, etc., to clarify some of these. So appreciate all of your questions, and actually a lot of the structure of this call was shaped around existing questions and comments from the community already. So I don't want this to be the one-stop shop to get everything answered as things evolve and change. And also it clearly takes a bit more time to make sure that we're communicating all of this clearly. So we will take other questions offline for now. And just thank you for your time in joining and listening. And I've got a direct link in to Pitbull, so I'll pick this up directly after the call, as I have seen his message. So thanks, Cryptid. And thanks for everyone else that's joined. I guess a last message from maybe Matthias on where everyone can find more materials and maybe absorb this a bit more in their own time. So a website, white paper, community channels, anything else?
Yeah. So right now it's a little limited, but on the website there's obviously the website, and there's a link to a pitch deck and the white paper. Then there are some social channels, Telegram and so on. We haven't really started it in that, but that would be a good place to stay tuned.
Perfect. Great. And I think just a clarity at the end, this is not a competing blockchain by any means. This is an adoption driver by allowing us to plug into other ecosystems and share data in a secure way. It's also a transactions driver, as well as an interoperability play where we can pick up broader conversations on the partnership side. So I appreciate that there maybe needs to be more comms and clarity around this, which we will roll out, but I just wanted to touch on some of the points that have come up where there's maybe conflation of ideas or interpretation, and really the key aim to simplify it is this is a data subscription service built on top of our Patizia public blockchain, and is really there to drive adoption, drive more conversations and plug the fragmentation within the Web3 space and those porting over from Web2 to Web3. So I just wanted to end on that note to hopefully add a bit more context around who we are, what we're doing, and the intention for God's Network. Again, appreciate everyone's time here, and apologies, we have to wrap it up. We've run over by half an hour already. So we will pick up more conversations, have future comms, have future sessions, and make sure that everyone's on the same page in terms of clarity and how we roll this out. So thanks again for all of the questions. Thanks for everyone who's tuned in, and hope you all have a great day.
Thanks, everyone. Have a good day. Bye.
Bye-bye.